Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager here for the final Fireside Chat of the year. For those of you new to the Fireside Chat, every week, and I mean every week, we don't miss, I get a chance to just talk to you about thoughts that I have and then take your own questions. And my sidekick is Otto. Usually his head is toward me. There's no rhyme or reason why it's not this week, but there may be a reason. This is the area he most loves to be rubbed. Is that correct, Otto? The dynamism of his response is just awe-inspiring. So what do I talk to you about in the final Fireside Chat of the year? What a lousy year 2020 was. No, I decided not to. Actually, I do want to say something about that. I did not allow it to be a terrible year in my own life. I decided from the very beginning to live life as normally as possible. I gathered with friends just as frequently as I have during normal years. I did not allow lockdowns to the extent possible. I mean, I still could go for haircuts. I went to what we call a speakeasy, where during Prohibition they had bars open in some way. This is like Prohibition writ large. And like Nancy Pelosi, I went and found a hair salon, as it were, where I could get a haircut. The difference between me and Nancy Pelosi is I publicly announced that I was getting a haircut, and she told people not to get their hair done. That's a very big difference. Be that as it may, I have been blessed with friends who have the same attitude as I do, and I've had a good year in that regard. But America and the world have had a terrible year. I opposed the worldwide lockdown from the very beginning. I got a lot of mockery and derision for it. Doesn't matter to me. I'm just noting it. Sometimes the cure, so to speak, is worse than the disease. This was a perfect example. Hundreds of millions of people are approaching not just poverty, but outright hunger as a result of the collapse of the world economy, completely done not by the pandemic, completely done by politicians' desires to save every life possible. But they don't save every life possible because so many more people have died overdosing on drugs or beginning drugs or getting on drugs who had been sober for years. The number of children abused, the number of partners and spouses abused has increased dramatically during this time. The number of kids with depression that's a pandemic. Young people's depression is a pandemic of teenagers who were just fine and happy-go-lucky. They're not made to be put into a solitary confinement for a year and for no good reason. The chances of a 17-year-old dying of COVID are far less than a chance of a 17-year-old dying in a car crash. But we allow 17-year-olds not just to ride, but to drive. So the decisions have been awful. Never in history have entire populations been quarantined. Anyway, just some reflections on the year, which was fine with me and awful for my beloved society and for the world. But I want to talk to you, before I take your questions, about this very famous statement. I mean, you hear it all the time about people who don't believe in God or don't believe in religion. We believe in science. You get a kick out of that line. What does it mean to believe in science? Do you mean you believe the truths that science comes up with? Who doesn't? If you say religious people do not believe in scientific truths, you're making up nonsense. I'm religious. I know vast numbers of religious Jews and Christians. They all believe in the truths of science. Yes, it's true. Some people believe God created the world in 6 24-hour periods. I happen to not give a hoot whether it's 24 hours or 24 million years. And I make that clear in my Bible commentary, because the word in Hebrew for day can mean 1,000 years, it says it in the Bible, or it could mean 24 hours. So that's not important. But other than that, whom do you know who's religious who doesn't believe in scientific truths? Do you know any religious person who says gravity doesn't exist? Or water is not composed of H2O? Or don't go to a doctor if they need surgery? I don't know any. I don't know any. So what does believe in science mean? Since we all believe in the truths of science and we all go for back surgery if we need back surgery, what does it mean? Ah, the answer is people don't know what it means, because the truth is it doesn't mean anything else. Do you believe science will lead you to the right decision about good and evil? I don't. Science, tell me how science tells you to be kind. Tell me how science tells you to save a life. If anything, science, if you want to follow science, it's just follow the Darwinian rule of the survival of the fittest. Do you know, if you follow the science, you don't keep the elderly and infirm alive. It's a waste of time and funds that could be spent on healthier people. In nature, what happens to the elderly, animal, and the infirm? They're eaten. I saw this in Africa. I've been on four safaris, and it was revelatory to me when I saw how the weakest of the gazelles was simply eaten by the lion. The lion would pick out the weakest of the gazelles. If you follow science, you let the weak die. Science doesn't tell you to be kind or compassionate or even build a hospital. It doesn't do any of these things. Follow the science. You know who followed science? The Nazi Dr. Mengele. He followed the science, and he took human beings and used them as guinea pigs in scientific experiments. This sadist, this butcher, this diabolical human being, he followed science. And so did the German Medical Association during the Holocaust. They endorsed the experiments on human beings. I don't follow the science to learn anything about life. Science doesn't give me wisdom. Science doesn't give me morality. Science doesn't give me compassion. Science has its role. Exactly. You want to know how to build a vaccine or an atom bomb? Science is your vehicle. But it doesn't tell you when to use the atom bomb. It only tells you how to build one. So I don't trust people who just believe in science, because I don't trust your understanding of good and evil. Where do you get it from? Science? Science doesn't teach you that. So just thought I'd offer that as a thought. We believe in science. What does that even mean? And by the way, the people who say it don't even mean it. They really believe in science? Thousands of scientists said it was unhealthy to demonstrate during the pandemic, right? Unhealthy, too many people congregating together. But then they started demonstrating in the thousands against racism or alleged racism. And then they said, oh, that's healthy. That's right. Look it up. Thousands of scientists said, oh, no, there are health benefits to demonstrating against racism. So people who say believe in science, what they really mean is they believe in the scientists they agree with. That's all they mean. The best example is hydroxychloroquine. Many scientists believe that this would have saved 100,000 lives in America and probably hundreds of thousands all over the world if used early enough when a person is positive for COVID. Hydroxychloroquine and zinc. Truly a lot of scientists are pro-hydroxychloroquine. And there's no danger to it, essentially. The thing has been around over a half a century. Millions of people have taken it constantly. It's as safe as drug as exists. So which science do you believe? The scientists that say, yes, you can save massive numbers of lives if you, in fact, take it early? Or those who say, oh, no, don't take it. The FDA doesn't approve its use in early stages of COVID. So you're not following the science if you're against hydroxychloroquine. You're following the scientists you agree with. I follow the science, and I take hydroxychloroquine and zinc and ivermectin too. So you're fooling yourself if you say follow the science. It means follow the scientists you agree with. Do you follow the scientists who say that men give birth? Is that science? Tell me, is that science? Men give birth. Is that a scientifically accurate statement? Of course not. You know how many scientists now say men give birth? All who are woke. They don't follow science. They follow woketude. So, some thoughts on follow the science. All right, let's go to your questions here. And we begin with...
Hi, my name's Azalea. I'm 17, and I'm from Chicago, Illinois. My question is, reflecting upon this year, Dennis, do you have any advice that you learned in 2020 that we should bring into this new year?
Oh, boy. Well, ironically, I just actually addressed some of them. I'll give you one immediately. You have a choice in life. Is the purpose of life to live, or is the purpose of life to live fully? That's the question. An animal's life, the purpose of an animal's life is to live. They have no interest in living fully. They don't have such a concept. We do. We're not animals. So the people who have spent the year afraid and hidden from life and not been with friends and not had a Thanksgiving or a Christmas with family or friends. I'm not talking about the highly vulnerable. That's a completely separate issue. I fully understand it. But for the vast majority of people, do you know, I'm not a big fan. I never, even when I was in high school, I wasn't a big fan of big parties. I like to talk to people, you know, one-on-one and, you know, have fun with a bunch of people that I knew. But it doesn't matter. I'm only mentioning this. I am such a big fan of kids having parties because they're saying to society, hello, we're 21 years old. We want to live. We don't want to hide from life on the unbelievably slim chance that we'll die. The chance of a 21-year-old dying of COVID is so minuscule as to be pointless to even talk about. So one of the biggest lessons must be that you live life. I'll give you an example because, you know, the motto, another great motto is better safe than sorry. For years, I'll tell you how many years, about 25. I've been broadcasting 35, so maybe 35 years. So I would often mention or occasionally mention, oh, I'm going to Israel for a visit because I get very inspired going to Israel. I've been there about 25 times. And people would call up and say, you know, Dennis, boy, would I love to visit the Holy Land and see Israel, but I'm waiting till it's safe. And I always used to say to people, I just came back. It's safe. It's not perfectly safe, but the chance that you will be blown up by an Arab terrorist is very, very small. In fact, I feel safer in Israel than in parts of Manhattan. Which is true, by the way. I mean, that's not an exaggeration. Or parts of Philadelphia. That was for my younger son's sake. And, you know, wherever it might be. And so people who said, oh, I'll go to Israel when it's safe, never went. In the meantime, I take a trip of people, of my listeners, to Israel every 2 years. And 500 come with me. And it... For most of them, it is the most wonderful trip of their life. And then they go back and go, thank God I wasn't paralyzed by fear. That's the big lesson from the year. Don't be paralyzed by fear, which means don't let the press, don't let the media, who are utterly and totally irresponsible, there's no redeeming factor to the mainstream media. Don't let them lead you by the nose and, in this case, frighten you. I don't know why they have such an agenda of fear, but they do. And virtually every country in the world followed the media except Sweden. And even Sweden finally sort of buckled, sort of, not fully. So, yes, I often mention that, you know what God tells the human being, what God tells people the most in the Bible? Do not fear. Okay. Jennifer, 20, Roswell, Georgia. Why should men not wear dresses? So this is a very important question, actually. And I'll answer with a question, and then I'll answer with an answer. Why should people not go around naked? It's a very serious question. Why should people wear any clothing? Forget male, female. Why shouldn't people? I want you to answer in your mind right now. Why shouldn't people walk around naked? Obviously, if it's too cold, they can't. But in the summer, anywhere, and in temperate climates, anywhere, anytime. So it's an interesting question, isn't it? Why shouldn't people walk around naked? Do you know that San Francisco had a debate about this? They had a bill to rescind the prohibition of walking around naked. And by one vote, the bill did not pass. By one vote, they still said that you can't walk around fully naked in San Francisco. And by the way, the reasoning was it isn't sanitary. Naked people will sit on benches, and it's not sanitary, which is nonsense, obviously. How many people sit on benches naked? There aren't that many benches in cities to begin with. But they couldn't admit that they really did believe there might be a deeper reason, which gets me to the male and female in a moment. The reason that we don't want people to walk with their genitals exposed, that's what the issue is primarily with regard to nudity, is because, and people don't even know why, it's because we have a deep tradition called Judeo-Christian that says humans are not animals. Animals have their genitalia exposed, humans do not. One of the biggest differences between humans and animals is clothing. Animals don't wear clothing, and they're not self-conscious about their being naked. That's just the way it is, and nor are we self-conscious about animals being naked. So the deepest reason for objecting and not allowing people to walk around naked is that there are certain things that are intrinsic to being human that we want to preserve. And that comes ultimately from a Judeo-Christian outlook. Pre-Judeo-Christian outlook, a lot of societies, people did walk around naked. The Bible says the same thing about men and women. There is a biblical law, men cannot wear women's clothing, and there's another law that women cannot wear men's clothing. And that is to preserve the distinction between male and female, which is fundamental to civilization. Blurring the distinction between male and female. This has nothing to do with the transgender. The transgender are not blurring the distinction. If a woman says, I am a man, so, and she then dresses like a man, takes a man's name, looks like a man, then it's a non-issue. There's no blurring of the male-female distinction. But when a man wears a dress, that is a deliberate blurring of the male-female distinction. And then you have an unraveling of the basic fundamental order of civilization. I know this is not the way people think, because people don't think about the consequences of ending the Judeo-Christian tradition. I've devoted my life to one overriding theme, and that is the bad consequences of secularism. Secularism is great for government, but it's not great for life. What's our timing?
19.
Oh, good. Really? Mm-hmm. Well, it's the second time in a row. I think your clock is off.
It feels
my inner clock. Rodrigo, what do you think?
It's that time of year, maybe.
Oh, really? The time of year, what, when clocks break?
Maybe the inner clocks, yeah.
Yeah, oh, the inner clocks break. That's interesting. All right, Dominic, 23, New Jersey. Hi, Dominic in New Jersey. How do you know when you find your purpose here on Earth? It's a very, very important question. So I have a few ways of approaching that. Well, to be precise, you know it when you know it, and I know this is almost a sort of a, it seems like an evasive answer, but it's like there's a very famous story about a Supreme Court justice on a pornography case. And he was asked to define pornography. And he said, I can't define pornography, but I know it when I see it. And as it was a good answer. I mean, it is difficult to define pornography. And you know it when you see it. And likewise, when you have a sense of purpose, you know it. It comes. But I would like to offer you a more helpful answer, perhaps. Through most of history, people were given a purpose rather than looking for one. So, for example, for the vast majority of people in history, getting married and making a family was a built-in, huge purpose of life. That's another thing secular society has killed. We are fewer people than any time in American history, or for that matter, Japanese history, are getting married. It's because of the death of religion for many people, both in Japan and the United States. And so when you don't believe that there is purpose in getting married and making a family, you're really on the big, big quest for purpose. So what people have done is they have made career purpose, but there are very few careers that truly fulfill that hole in you that wants purpose. I think I could tell the story of my trainer. She's either 30 or just about to turn 30. So I've known her for years because I've been training with her for years. And I know her before she got married. I know her after she got married. And I now know her after she has a baby. And she was very committed. That's why I have her as a trainer. She's a terrific trainer. And she got a great deal of satisfaction from being a trainer. And then all of a sudden, she had a husband and a child. And now she tells me she finds it very hard to leave the child. It's very tough. Somehow or other, and I'm not knocking at all profession. It could be a big deal in a person's life. But compared for most people to making a home and raising a child, unless you are in a very, very powerfully fulfilling work, and that exists, then it's a toughie. For the vast majority of people, the purpose was given: get married, make a family. Then you need a job, you need income to support the family. So most of the time through history, it was the man of the family who made the money. And what he felt was, wow, it doesn't matter that I'm selling tires. I don't get that much meaning from selling tires, but I get an immense amount of meaning from making money from selling tires to support a family. So then almost anything you do becomes meaningful because the money that you've earned goes to supporting a family. I dare say that selling tires and making an income and supporting a family is a hell of a lot more meaningful than teaching gender studies at a Kaduka State College. I made up the name of a college because I didn't want to offend any given college. So this is a real problem, this purpose issue, and so did religion. The other thing that gave people deep purpose was religion. And you know, to go to church each week, to go to synagogue each week, to have the Lord's Day in Christianity, to have the Sabbath in Judaism, where you convene with co-religionists, hopefully have a meal with them, and pray with them, study with them. These are huge. I devote mass amounts of time to my Bible commentary. It's very hard work. It's the hardest project I've ever embarked on. but it's immensely rewarding because I believe in it. So when you knock out religion and you knock out family, knock out marriage and children, what is your purpose going to be? CEO of some tech company? Wow. You know what? That's not that much. CEOs are replaceable. No matter how good a CEO you are, you're ultimately replaceable. But nobody could replace mommy. Nobody could replace daddy. Nobody could replace a best friend. That's the thing. Okay. Allentown, Pennsylvania. Look at that. Matt, 37. Dennis, love your show and the puppies. Now, that's interesting. Did not isolate Otto. And he is not hurt. I just looked over to see if he was all insulted. Somebody should mention even hintingly at Otto. I mean, at Snoopy. He loves Snoopy, but I'm not sure he wants to share the spotlight. Question, considering you were a Democrat in the past, but now a conservative, what is your position on the argument that the Democrats and Republicans switched platforms at some point in our history? Thank you for doing what you do. Thank you, Matt. Well, here's the interesting thing. It's funny. Considering you were a Democrat in the past, but now a conservative. So I have a real big surprise for you. There is only one thing I can think of that I have changed my mind on going from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party, going from liberal to conservative. Literally only one, and that is the size of government. I realized, and that's a big one, by the way, America was founded to have a very small government so that people have as much freedom and responsibility as possible. That is the unique thing. Every other society in history had big governments, kings, emperors, religious people and theocracies. Only America was founded to have small government. But otherwise, there is not one value that I have rejected from my liberal Democrat past. That, and I'm called a conservative. So in other words, I didn't change my values. The left, the liberals changed their values because they don't realize that the left is their enemy. The enemy of liberalism is not conservatism. The enemy of liberalism is leftism. How many examples you want? Liberals believe in free speech, leftists don't. Liberals believe in racial integration, leftists believe in racial segregation. Colleges have black dorms. Liberals hated black dorms. The only people who were pro black dorms are the Ku Klux Klan and leftists. Dorms based on race is called segregation. That was the dirtiest word for liberals when I grew up. It's still a dirty word, in my opinion. I want complete racial integration. Liberals knew capitalism is the only way to raise people from poverty. The left hates capitalism. So I haven't changed. Liberals did because they now accept the left as part of their own ideology. Kutsia, 21, St. Louis. My name is Kutsia. I gathered that. I am from Afghanistan, living in St. Louis, Missouri. When learning about the Holocaust in grade school, it always bothered me how such evil could happen. I look at the hate that has spread through America today, and it makes me question where the future is headed. My question to you is, how did Nazism happen, and what role did propaganda and illiteracy play in it? Truly admire what you do. Thank you. Well, it is scary, actually. The only way the Holocaust could have happened, I've written this for all of my life, is based on lies. Lies are the root of evil. Money is not the root of evil. Appetites are not the root of evil. Lies are the root of evil. Not that the others don't cause problems, but you can't have mass evil without lies. The lie that blacks were inferior allowed slavery. The lie that Jews were inferior allowed the Holocaust. And yes, when the mass media lie, your country is in trouble. And I believe the mass media in America lie, and we are in trouble. That's why they suppress people like me and others, because the left, for whom truth has never been a value, liberals value truth, conservatives value truth, but truth is not a left-wing value and never has been. That's why they are willing to shut down all dissenting voices at college, at high school, at your place of work, and on the internet. Because it's easy to puncture lies if we are allowed to expose them, but they don't want us to do so. So it is a scary time. And that's a sad fact. But I'm not scared because I don't walk around scared. That's one of the things I mentioned about one of the great lessons of 2020. So I wish you from the bottom of my heart a happy and healthy new year. And I will be with you, God willing, all year like this past one. So on behalf of Otto and Megan and Rodrigo and Nathan and the folks at PragerU, have a happy year. Thank you for watching this video. To help keep PragerU videos free, please consider making a tax-deductible donation.